All right, a weird day out there, right? Little rainy, chilly, sweater weather. You get this occasionally in the summer, no doubt. We are 30 minutes away from our enough segment. So if you have had enough of something, maybe it's traffic, maybe it's construction, maybe it's mosquitoes, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever you've had enough of, I want to hear about it. You can send me a voice message using the Odyssey app. If you listen live on the Odyssey app, it's a great way to listen to the show. Send us a voice message. So you just click on the microphone right next to the listen live button. It comes right to us in the studio, and we will play it on the air. We have been monitoring, and you heard Laura in the news. We've been keeping our eye on the state senator Nicole Mitchell trial. That's one of the stories we're watching in the D-Rush Hour news headlines.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D-Rush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
The top story in the lead is that Nicole Mitchell trial that the state has rested its case, as you heard from Laura. And then within the last 20 minutes or so, court took a break for the day. Tomorrow, we may hear from State Senator Nicole Mitchell herself. The whole trial, at least her defense has said, lands on her views, on her story. But the evidence from our analysts has been devastating. Lots of against her. Lots of testimony today. But not the only thing that was in her possession was Carol Mitchell's laptop. So this, of course, is the state senator who broke into her stepmother's home, drove 3 hours from Woodbury, the district she represents, dressed all in black in a black skull cap, broke into her stepmom's house. No doubt a family tragedy, some difficulty over Nicole Mitchell's father, who had died, wanting his remains, perhaps, maybe some disappointment or resentment in the stepmother. But when it comes to the facts, the police chief today testified that the only thing Nicole Mitchell had was Carol's laptop. So is that, you know, a laptop is worth maybe $1,500? Does that rise to a felony level? Yeah. We will see and we will hear. Presumably from the state senator tomorrow. Next up in the lead is an issue that's going to be affecting so many Minnesota communities over the next couple months, and that is the request for more money from local school districts, from local school boards. We want to bring in an expert to shed some light on this. Kirk Schneiderwind is the executive director of the Minnesota School Boards Association. He is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline to make some sense out of this for us. Kirk, it's good to visit with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me today.
So the big story in both newspapers in town today, talking about the city of St. Paul asking, agreeing to go to voters and ask for more money, looking for $37 million a year. From taxpayers. But the reason I reached out to you is because I suspect this is not just a St. Paul issue. This is something. Is this something school boards all over the state are grappling with?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it really starts with making sure that we have high quality programs for all of our students. And I think that's kind of the center for many of boards and superintendents when they make these decisions. And yeah, it is that time of the year where, the new, you know, all the school supplies are out there and discussions around local levies are in front of our board to make that decision. And that is the season. And so they're grappling with what's ahead of them and perhaps some of the stuff what's behind them in terms of the inflationary pressures and all of the other uncertainties from the federal government and the I would say challenging or bleak outlook at the state of Minnesota's financial future as well. So, and we know funding is a mix of local, state, and federal money. And so all of those pieces need to work together to make sure that we've got the adequate resources to provide great programs for our kids.
Kirk Schneiderwin, the executive director of the Minnesota School Board Association, is with us. Education Minnesota, the state's largest teachers union, had said they'd heard from 45 different districts that are interested in this. We know a handful already have decided that they're going to go to voters, Roseville, North St. Paul, Maplewood, Oakdale, Moundsview among them. What, you know, are school boards worried about sort of the mood of voters right now? That obviously when the messaging from the federal government is we have to make cuts, the messaging from the state is we have to make cuts, and then the messaging from school boards is we need more money.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. But I think the reality is for our boards and people on the ground who are delivering the services on a daily basis, I think they know the value and importance of providing a high quality program, and that doesn't does require investments. So I think to your point is that anytime a board makes a decision to go to the voters, they absolutely understand all of the pressure points. And, you know, sometimes it's a risk that they know perhaps is, you know, may not have a very good chance of passing, but know that they want to hear from their folks and may want to go back out the following year with a lesser amount. But I would expect that just because of the uncertainties, and one of the things that we always preach to our boards and superintendents is about looking ahead and making sure that we're prepared for the future as well as today. But they've got they're seeing some stuff on the ground here with federal cuts, perhaps a bleak state economic outlook. And so they feel like there's an opportunity that they need to go to the voters to make sure that they maintain the programs. I mean, if you look at St. Paul's request, for example, that was not adding new operations or new programs. That was maintaining.
Right.
And I think that's one of the struggles with our districts, even though we talk about a gen ed inflationary increase that was recently enacted. We have been behind the eight ball on the inflationary increases for a number of years. And while the 23 session certainly was a step in the right direction, there was also a number of categorical funding streams that limit our districts in how they can spend it. So our association has always maintained that providing most flexibility to expend how their communities and their families and their students need it is the best way, rather than putting money into categoricals for our districts.
Kirk Schneiderwind is the executive director of the Minnesota School Board Association. I think part of the and obviously you know what the pushback is, Kirk. It's that, you know, so many of our school districts around the state are seeing enrollments going down, fewer students, but yet the request for money is always going up. Mm-hmm. And I know there, I think common sense would lead you to understand, like, well, salaries cost more, insurance costs more, everything costs more for these schools. So even though they have enrollment declines, they still have some real challenges.
Right. And they certainly do. And I think you hit it on a point, right? Declining enrollment is a challenge for some of our districts.
Not all.
Not all of our
districts. Don't we fund schools in sort of a stupid way? The state does this. The fact that it's tied to enrollment, it's such a complicated scenario. And you think, right, you know, there, instead of the constant levies and the requests and the begging, no other unit of government has to do this the way that school boards have to do it.
Right.
There could be I'm sure, like, no one who has the courage to do this. I'm sure no one. But we could be doing this in a more logical way that wouldn't have, you know, school boards and superintendents coming out, passing the basket every couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love that. I mean, we would love to be able to say not to expend the energy and the political capital of always going to the voters for additional dollars. Absolutely.
And if people didn't like it, they could vote the school board out, just like any other unit of government. You know, I think it's crazy that schools have to play under this totally different circumstance than any other part of what we fund federally or locally.
Exactly. You know, and I think that's one of the dynamics for our school boards is, you know, they have referendums, which require the communities to vote. And they're the only local government for which citizens can say no. And so what is your most precious asset? Well, your public school students are your most. So, yeah, it is a very challenging time, no question about it. And I just think, you know, the fact that the federal government is withholding $75 million from our state right now without any, you know, without any signal that this will be coming forward. And so in my former boss always used to say, you can only spend a buck once, Kirk. And so if you're going to spend it here, you can't spend it over here. And so that's what our districts are going to be faced with.
August 14th is the deadline for districts to approve their ballot measures. So a lot of communities are going to be faced with these discussions. I'm glad you gave us a little insight from the school board, the sort of the overall view where we're seeing this everywhere. Kirk, thank you.
Thank you for having me today. Have a great one. Thanks.
Kirk Schneiderwind, the executive director of the Minnesota School Board Association. That is the D-Rush Hour. News headlines, the lead. How about we do page two in just a minute? Let's talk about how bad the wildfires were last week and new data that tells us more about that. The cops in Richfield on a relatively low speed chase. We'll tell you what they were chasing. And Wisconsin cheesemakers making more cheddar on something other than cheese. Drive Time continues in just a minute on CC. D Rush Hour News headlines page two begins with some data to answer us this question. How bad were the wildfires last weekend? Well, really bad. Yeah, that's how bad. Bring me the news with a bit of an astonishing data set from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. So those Canadian wildfires, especially on Saturday, was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You could see it. You could smell it. You could feel it. Up north, it was the worst. The worst reading, so they do this with like a particle, I don't know, some kind of goofy fine particle. Who cares? Nobody cares. There's a number, and the number for Detroit Lakes was 404.9, which was the fifth highest all-time fine particle pollution level. The highest was in Grand Portage this year on June 3rd. So that was the Manitoba wildfires. Red Lake Nation from the 11th had a 323 number. Leech Lake was 303. Fargo-Moorhead was 285. Now, you might be wondering, as I was, and I thank Bring Me the News for sharing that information, what was the highest fine particle pollution reading ever? And the highest was in Minneapolis. So this weekend, Detroit Lakes was 404, right? That was number five on the list. Minneapolis was 657. But it wasn't because of wildfire smoke. It was July 4th, 2020. So many lug nuts were launching off fireworks in Minneapolis. There was no city organized display that year because of COVID-19. And so the fine people of Minneapolis gave themselves the highest fine particle pollution reading ever. Wisconsin cheesemakers are making a lot of cheddar on cheese. That's not from their cheese.
Tastes mighty inviting.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
It's so
oh, I love that song. This is crazy. The biggest moneymaker And maybe part of the key of keeping cheesemakers, keeping them alive in Wisconsin right now, isn't cheese, it's protein. We love whey. New York Times with this story that takes place at Naysonville Dairy in Marshfield, Wisconsin. So whey, if you've ever been to like one of these supplement stores, or even going through like an Aldi or a Costco or a Walmart, they've got these big tubs of whey protein. Josh, are you a whey?
I have a tub. Yeah.
Whey is a byproduct of cheese making. It's a liquid. Naysonville Dairy makes about 150,000 pounds of cheese every day, but they break even on that. They're making money with the byproduct. So think about this. Making 1 pound of cheese takes 10 pounds of milk. Mm-hmm. So a large part of cheese making is dealing with, so you got 40,000 pounds of liquid that remains, right? So you're like, all right, we did this day. What do we do with all this other liquid? Well, they kind of take the whey and make it into a more concentrated protein. At the end of the day, this Naysonville Dairy has about 100,000 pounds of high-protein liquid whey that gets sent off to another plant that then they turn it into a powder and then they sell it to you. Crazy. But because of GLP-1s and because of the protein obsession, the whey protein market...
changed. Yeah.
The experts don't know exactly what it is, but it's currently between $5 to $10 billion a year.
Yeah.
Whey in 2020 used to cost about $3. Now it costs about $10 for a pound of it, of the powder, before it's like marketed, put in a fancy thing. And so the advantage of whey for protein is it's a lot of protein without a lot of calories.
Yeah.
And that's what bodybuilders or people on GLP-1s want. Crazy. Channel 4 with a great story about the cops in Richfield working very hard to catch you. I'm sorry, to catch you. Now, a police chase in Richfield for a female sheep. The first call came in at 9:26 in the morning. The police are called in to shepherd a sheep near East 75th at 11th Avenue South. It was about a mile-long pursuit, pretty low speed. They found the sheep in Martin Guzman's backyard. The sheep was out for 15 to 20 minutes on the run, just running for freedom, like, get me out of here. Now, what you may be wondering is what on earth was a sheep doing in Richfield, because this inner ring suburb of Minneapolis isn't exactly a farm haven. Mm-hmm. The owner claims it was purchased to be harvested. A little bit of questions about whether the sheep were legally in possession in Richfield. I don't know if you can buy a live sheep to kill it. Weird deal.
Once the purchase transaction's made, you can do whatever.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's true. That is the D-Rush Hour news headlines for you here on CCO. In just a minute, enough. Your chance to let a rip, to vent on whatever you want to vent about. What are you fed up with? What are you sick of? What can't you take anymore? From the fun to the silly to the serious. Lay it on me, 651-461-9226. I've got a few. Josh has a few. We know you have a few, and we'll get into it next here on CCO.